Coming up on the Assassins podcast, we've got Marvin Liao, founder and partner at Diaspora Ventures, formerly GP at 500 Startups, coming on to talk about how Marvin assesses deal flow and the criteria that he has for investing in pre-seed and seed stage companies, Disco being one of those as our first check into the business. And then a little bit more about 500 and really how long after a company joins did he and his team know this company's going to make it or this one isn't, and what differentiated those from the ones that made it from those that didn't. And also touches on the way that the incubator model is changing and evolving and what that means for seed stage companies looking to join incubators going forward. And then lastly, we talk about things that founders can do to improve their odds of getting accepted into an early stage accelerator and other options for those that want to maybe take a different approach. So with that, Assassins, let's go.
Assassin state of mind, hustle, grind, see them dollar signs, way above the bottom line, assassin state of mind. They say money over everything, everything gauge in the game. Shopping for a wedding ring, salary, startups, crypto, stock exchange. Appreciate every penny, pocket change. One phone call and your life can change. What's your love language?
What's going on? It is your host, Justin Vandehey, here at the Assassins Podcast. Every Friday, coming to you with guests that have helped founders go from zero to one. This week, I've got a really awesome guest on. He's kind of a smartass, but he's a much better dresser than I am. He's a good friend, super sharp, especially on that early stage of going from zero to one. I'll let him do his intro, but Marvin Liao, former GP at 500 Startups, now running the show at Diaspora. Welcome to the Assassins Podcast, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me, man. It's way too long.
I thought we could, I'd love to just like start with just general intro on yourself. Tried to cue up a couple things, but you've got a really unique background as an operator and having worked with 500 Startups and now just advising in a bunch of different companies. Tell the folks who you are and what you're jamming on.
Yeah, I'll try to keep this short and sweet. So spent about 22 years here in San Francisco. Did the startup thing for a couple of years. Was a big tech executive. So I ran a lot of the international expansion, ran a bunch of regions for Yahoo. So I was there for about 10 and a half years. Was an angel investor, not very good at it for a couple of years. And then I joined 500 Startups and started their San Francisco office. So helped run their global fund, Fund 3 and Fund 4, and was also was a partner there. So I ran the San Francisco office, the global fund, Fund 3 and 4, and also mainly ran, invested through the accelerator program that we had. So I was there for about 6 years and invested in over 414 pre-seed and seed stage startups, and Disco being one of them. Back in the day, about 14, if I recall correctly.
That's right.
It's about 14.
That's right.
Left 500 end of 2019, and I call myself sort of portfolio entrepreneur now. So I run a gaming holding company. We have like about 19 companies that are all related to sort of gaming space and gaming studios. Unfortunately, it's been a little bit on hiatus. So I've been there for a little bit over, I think almost 2 years, but it's on hiatus because most of our staff are in Ukraine. So it's sort of a little bit complicated right now, but thankfully everyone's okay. So it's good. But, that's been, a lot of the staff are sort of on the front line, so it's a little bit challenging. I also have a VC fund called Diaspora on the side. It's a rolling fund. And so we invest with my partner, Carlos. We invest in 3 to 4 companies every single quarter. I also have an angel fund with my buddy, Forrest. And actually, it's doing so well now. We're actually raising to actually have a sort of more seed stage focused fund for global deals and opportunistic deals. And I sit on, I think now 4 different investment committees or different VC funds around the world. So I do a lot of random things, investing and operating.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a good segue into your experience, I think there's both as an operator, but also as an earlier stage investor. And we were talking about just, I know you've been involved with companies that are doing a lot of different things across different industries as well, that maybe even are non-tech. But I'd be curious just to hear your perspective on, like, what are some of the critical things you're thinking through to decide whether you do a deal or not? And the difference, if there was any, between 500 and Diaspora, like, how have you thought about that?
I would say that, you know, I would say there's a significant difference, but let me answer the first question, where it's, you know, in pre-seed and seed, there's really not very much to assess. So you're really ultimately assessing the team. That's probably 70-80%, like the founders, the team, how well they understand sort of the problem, how well they understand the customers. And then you're probably evaluating the space. And even that, right, we get wrong all the time, right? So, you know, you either get it wrong where you think it's big, the market's bigger than it really is, or you actually underestimate, where I've made that mistake with some of the more successful companies I've had under my belt, where it's just like, wow, this is a much bigger business than I ever thought it could be, yeah. Right? Like, you know, if you think about like companies like Shippo or like Rapid API or Aircall or, you know, go down the list of just, you know, and Broker, like some of these companies where it's like, holy crap, Pipeify, right? You know, from the batch, where it's like, this is a much bigger space than I'd ever pictured. So I think most VCs get that wrong. But ultimately, sort of like what I think I write is not, you know, just write is probably not the right word, but where I think the hardest part to figure out is really the team assessment, right? It's just like, are these founders able to just stick it out 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, right? To basically build that massive size business as a VC, you know, you're looking for the multi-billion dollar exit. And so you're not going to build a multi-billion dollar business in 2 years. I wish it was that easy, right? This is stuff that takes like 7 to 10 years, at least, probably longer. And so that a lot of it is assessing how well they understand the problem. Do they understand the customers? And is there a sort of founder market fit, right? Like, are they working on these things for like the right reason versus I'm going to build this thing and sell it to Facebook 2 years. Good luck with that, right? I've never seen that work. And I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, it's never that easy. We didn't build a $1 billion company and it took us 7 years to actually like build a profitable growth engine that was sustainable.
It's hard. I talked to so many founders. I was talking to this one founder, mainly bootstrapped, and they're just stuck at, you know, 90 to 100K MRR, and they're beating themselves up. I'm like, guys, you guys are profitable. Like, yes, at year four, it's really hard. He's like, yeah, but you're in Silicon Valley. It just happens all the time, right? 2 years. I'm like, no, like this stuff, it takes, like, just, there's so many myths that are just like, frankly incorrect, right? Like, and you know, a lot of times when you dig in a little bit more into these backstories, it's helpful. This is why I think it's helpful being here for so long. You actually know the backstory where it's like, well, it wasn't actually 2 years. It was actually 5 years. They pivoted three times, right? Like just, but they kind of hide the first 3 years. So it's just like, you know, it's never as easy. Nothing's as easy. There's no overnight success. Net.
Yeah. Oh man. That's so, one of my good buddies is Bryant Chow, who's one of the co-founders at Webflow. And cause I knew I worked with Bryant and their CEO Vlad at Intuit. That's kind of where we got started. And Vlad started Webflow almost 15 years ago, and it was like third reboot. And so everybody sees the $4 billion valuation and they're like, oh my God. But the thing was, like, they got to 10 million in ARR after like multiple grinds to get to that point where then they raised. So it's just, yeah. And I think that's what I'm trying to do here too, is just tell and share stories that help kind of open up what it's, you know, authentically, like you see a lot of the flashy stuff, but
this stuff is hard. And all you see is the flashy stuff. Like the reality is that, you know, you don't, there's always a backstory and there's usually something that, frankly speaking, that's hidden, right? And I don't think founders are sort of like, most founders are not purposely deceptive about this. I just think they just forget, right? Or they just don't want to remember how painful it was.
Oh God. I know. Yeah. It's like having kids. It's like you wouldn't do it again if you remembered how painful the first one was. And I didn't even give birth to mine. So, awesome. I think this is that's a good transition into the other question I had for you. And this is related to team, but I was just curious, after a batch starts where you're like, oh shit, this founder or this team has it, or oh shit, this founder doesn't have it. Like, how long does it take to be like four weeks.
Yeah, four weeks, because, you know, we spend so much time with you guys during the batch. Yeah. That's why I love the program of just, you know, you get those early indicators pretty quickly, right? Like, you know, are they decisive? You know, do they move quickly or slow? You know, like, do they have like decent EQ, which actually really matters, right? Because you're going to hire people. So you learn these things like really, really fast. And I don't think you can get it in 1 or 2 weeks. You can get it by 4 weeks, right? Especially like I said, you're walking around, we're spending lots of time talking to each other and learning about like, and also within 4 weeks, we're like, have these people actually done anything during this time? You can see very, very quickly.
I was going to joke that it's also, I remember that juice that you made us drink halfway through the initiation juice. It was like, yo, if you can't hold that down, there's no way that you're going to cut it out here.
Yeah, 5, 6, 7. I got a lot of complaints about that in year 4. So they made us stop doing
that. Oh man, that's weak. That's those founders.
It is weak. This is why it shows me like that. This is like the end of America because like people are just snowflakes.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So I guess transition to what are your current thoughts on, you know, you've got your own fund, you're investing like YC. There's a lot of companies that are sort of opening up top of funnel where they're talking about bigger batches, thousands of companies.
Which I think is nuts, to be honest. I just don't think, I have a fundamental problem with that. It's fine. You're trying to industrialize. I get it. You know, more companies are better, but I just think sort of you lose a lot of, it's like a McDonald's, you know, like the first restaurant that you have is amazing. When you franchise it, it does go down, right? Because you franchise it, you basically have to drop it down to a process that you can sort of, you know, you're not, think about it this way. Have you ever had like good buffet, right? You can't, right? You can make good custom food. I think it's almost impossible to make like high quality buffet. And this is the way I think about these type of accelerator programs, all of them, right? Like Techstars YC 500. I just think if it's not custom, I don't think you can really add a lot of value. And I also think you miss out on probably arguably the most, and you were a batch person, the batch, right? The actual companies that sells, the actual community, you know, even at 40 companies, you can barely sort of like, that's already pretty big, right? You're getting past sort of like Dunbar's, you know, I think was 150 people, right? When you can build a tribe, when you sort of break Dunbar's number, I just think it's really, really hard to sort of like build community. So, you know, what used to be special about YC, the selectiveness, the very, very sort of like deep community, that's gone now. Right.
Yeah.
And so I like that's a decision they made and that's a strategic decision they made. They can get away with it. I don't think anybody else can.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. And I think as founders too, a follow up question to that is what maybe it is less now that it is less selective. But I was going to ask you like for new time founders that are assessing this, because the incubator for us was the injection that we needed to like supercharge our efforts and get going and really helped validate us. Cause as three just chuckleheads, you know, we didn't know what the hell we were doing and we needed that structure, I think, out of the gate and just some form of trying to, you know, get us out of the garage. But what are one or two things that you think could help founders improve their odds of being selected into an incubator like 500? Like, are there things that they should be thinking about?
So I'll answer your question and I'll give you my take, you know, sort of like on the accelerator incubator thing. So number one, I think that, you know, getting your story right, right? In the sense of like, what's the narrative? Who's your customer? All the things that an investor cares about, we're evaluating it ultimately the same way, right? You know, does the market make sense? Does this team make sense? You know, do they really have deep insights on the customer base, like basics? Then can you actually tell that, you know, can you tell that story really well, right? Like pitch. This is why we spend so much time there. I would say that's probably the biggest thing. But I would, you know, my argument against it, like doing the accelerator now, where there's so many experienced founders now out there, like second time, third time founders, and, you know, sometimes it's actually just getting together with like a mastermind of like three or four other founders. Like, you know, it's like a gym buddy, right? But I have like four or five gym buddies, other founders who just you meet up and talk with on a regular basis. You can probably, and then you add an advisor to, you can probably like go and get the same experience from accelerator, because I just don't rate most of them right now. I think Hyper is really interesting as accelerator. I think OnDeck is also really interesting in the sense, not so much ODX accelerator. I don't know enough about them, but actually even the OnDeck founders program, you're paying for it, but you're in this like really, really good cohort. There's content, but you're in this cohort with these other really, really strong founders you can build ties with. And so I just think there's other ways that you can do this without sort of giving up the 7% of equity, considering the sort of the quality levels of most accelerators kind of pretty much gone down. And so I think you can replicate that.
That's awesome. It's funny. I know we were talking about Sam and Sean from My First Million earlier. We did a mastermind. So Sean, Sam, and then Sieva. I don't know if you remember Sieva.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's awesome. Yes, yeah. From Batch 12. He's running a fund now too. So he's doing really, really cool stuff. I need to catch up with him. Actually, I need to ping him.
Yeah, he's the man. Yeah, another guy, Eric, he was doing like a custom socks company. But we'd get together it was probably every two Wednesdays. It ended up falling apart, mostly because life just got crazy. But I think it was one of the most useful and valuable sessions with those guys because the scope of our businesses were so different. We had some people in B2B, some, you know, doing direct to consumer. Sean was doing streaming. Sam was doing content. So it was like you could come together and sort of just piece together what we were learning across all these different industries and trying to actually like apply it to, you know, the challenges that you were facing, which was pretty cool.
I mean, the other thing I like about is accountability of it, right? Because if you show up and you're like, I haven't really done anything yet, right? Like, so I took an online writing class, and that was really, really helpful for me because there's like, wow, not having that accountability. That was one thing I felt like we did a pretty good job at 500, at least when I was running. I know it's been 2.5 years. So I haven't been there anymore, but at least when we were there, just that weekly accountability of just like, you show up and like, what did you get done in the last week, right? And just having that for a consistent sort of 3.5-4 months, I think it's very powerful. But I do think you can replicate that with masterminds because it's embarrassing. You show up and you're like, I didn't really do anything this week. And you're like, come on, man. Like, just, like, you know, it is helpful.
Yeah. Awesome. Last question. I know we're coming up on time here. There's a lot of shit going on. You mentioned Ukraine. Obviously we're in the middle of a recession or we're in the midst of heading into one.
We're somewhere.
Yeah. There's a lot of fear, a lot of doubt out there. What's your current take on the investment climate that we're going into? And maybe what are one or two things that founders should be thinking about as they try to get their company going from zero to one?
I mean, ultimately, the way I think about this is like, you know, make sure you're working on something that you really care about, right? Because, you know, just because investment environment is tough, it is. It's really pretty much disappeared. Fundraising is going to be, it was never as easy as people think, but like fundraising is going to be really, really hard. And so ultimately, my view where it's like, you should be focusing on what really mattered, which is talking to your customers and trying to get the customers to pay, right? And at the day, make sure you're working on something that you find meaningful or interesting. Because, you know, sort of win or lose, at least you're going to get something out of this, right? And you're going to answer questions in your brain and you know, minimize any regret versus sort of like, well, I'm going to do this because I think it's going to make me money. Making money is important, right? But, you know, I can tell anybody just like I care a lot about that stuff too, right? But at the same time, sort of like you do want to be working on stuff and working on stuff with people that you like, right? And you respect. You know, win or lose, you'll come out ahead and just prepare to grind through this next sort of like 1.5-2 years. But if you do that, you'll be fine, right? And that's all I can really tell you. Just like, don't worry about investors, build an awesome business and investors will chase you. And I think too many times there's this like all these stupid myths that are like passed around the values, like, you know, chasing investors, like having investors like external validation, which I think is kind of sad. Think about your own life, right? Do you need to be externally validated for your, you know, for what you do in your own life? Then do, you know, like, no, right? And the answer is no. Then why do you need that for your startup?
Good stuff. I guess in wrapping this up, what else is going on? Is there anything that you wanted to plug or anything that you're jamming on?
No, just this is a great time. Like, look, it's going to be rough, but the reality is just like, we're undergoing a big, big, massive change in the world right now, right? You know, we're deglobalizing, you know, tech is penetrating every single part of the economy in general. And so, you know, yes, it's going to be tough for many people, but this also opens up a lot of massive opportunities. So, you know, I actually legitimately think that you're going to see an explosion of entrepreneurship. And so this is really the only way. I feel bad for all those folks who are working at these like companies thinking that it's safe when now you're having hiring freezes happening at all the fangs, right? Or they're going to be layoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if you can see layoffs at some of these companies. And so the reality is that, you know, entrepreneurship is like, yeah, it's tough in the beginning, but you get to chart your own destiny. And that's not a bad thing, I think, in the long run, especially with all the changes that are going on in the world, right? You can affect that versus sort of like you just, you know, not really having a lot of control when you work for somebody else.
Yeah. Awesome words of wisdom. Well, cool, man. Well, I think we could wrap there. I just, first of all, just also wanted to say thank you for taking a bet on us because we were a bunch of butt heads in the early days and we had no idea what we were doing, man. And so,
but you learned,
We did. We did. Yes. So you helped us unlock something pretty awesome and figured out how to build a real business. So I'm forever grateful for you and the 500 team and just helping support us through that. And even though my pride was tarnished occasionally and my wardrobe was crucified, I do appreciate your guidance and your mentorship here over the years.
All out of love, man. It's like, you know, we hurt you to help you.
That's right. Awesome. Thanks, Marvin. All right, man. Well, thanks again for coming on, and yeah, excited to catch up again soon.
For sure.
All right. That is a wrap. Massive shout out to Marvin Liao. Appreciate you coming on. We've got a really busy week coming up next week. We've got a special guest. I think that y'all are going to enjoy the conversation. If you go to the site, we're also working on a newsletter. As I mentioned, we're going to start to do a couple more recaps of activity happen at the seed and pre-seed stage. So if you drop us your email and go to assassins.com, that's assassins.com, and subscribe to the newsletter, you're going to get a couple of really nice treats in your inbox every week in addition to the weekly pod. So sign up, because I think if you're looking at the early stages and you're interested about what assassins do to grow and go from zero to one, it will be transformative. So check us out there. And as we say every week here, just keep hustling, keep grinding, and keep getting that money. See them dollar signs, hustle, grind. Assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs, assassin state of mind, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs, assassin state of mind, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line, assassin state of mind. They say money over everything, everything, gauge in the game. Shopping for a wedding ring, salary, startups, crypto, stock exchange. Appreciate every penny, pocket change. One phone call and your life can change. What's your love language? Can't do business if it ain't reciprocated.